Blog Talk Radio.
Come so fast and the week is over. Anyway, I'm Cynthia Johnson, your host, along with Dr. Reggie Johnson, and we are Dr. Reggie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Oh, my God. I thought the music would never end. It was crazy. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. You know, this technology kind of makes me crazy every now and then. And
no, it doesn't have the ability to do that now. You know better.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Reggie, for reminding me.
That's right. It's a little challenging.
Such a gentle reminder. Yeah, it was a little challenging, so I was running a little late connecting because I had to reboot my computer. You know what that's like, right?
Right.
Oh, so I love this technology. That's a better way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you want to take
And everything has glitches. Everything has glitches.
Everything has glitches. So what was the purpose of this experience this morning to keep me, I don't know, patient.
Focus and alert and prepared.
Yeah. So how do you feel about doing the morning prayer this morning?
I feel great about it.
Okay. Well, let's get this party started.
Okay. Life is a dance.
It is.
Mm-hmm. We come to you, Heavenly Father, always in the name of love and thanksgiving. Let us always be grateful for every single moment that we are alive and that we exist on planet Earth, our playground, our place of love and challenges and opportunities to move through all things that oppose us. Let us learn the value of every experience and the value of having this human experience, knowing that we come from you, from another dimension. Thank you for the power of love, the power of forgiveness, and the power of prosperity, and the power of just simply being in the presence and practicing the presence of you through prayer, contemplation, and ritual. Mm-hmm. We love who you are in us. Let us express that love on every occasion that we have the opportunity, and have loving reminders and gentle reminders in everything in nature that we are all connected and we are all one. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Oh, my goodness, Dr. Reggie, I could feel my heart just expanding as you spoke those words.
Great.
No, excuse me, I had to sneeze. Anyway, life is such a wonderful gift, and, you know, the more we move through oneness, and sometimes oneness, it challenges us to shift in our awareness, and it may not be easy because we're growing and we're stretching and expanding, just like I felt my heart just expand. And it's not like the physical heart, but it's this feeling of love that's just expanding inside. You feel it coming from the soul, the depths of your being. Well, our unit of awareness, our consciousness is expanding, and this book is challenging us to stretch and expand and to envision more for us, because God has given us so much. And when we look at the complexity of life, how life unfolds, it can be mind-boggling. But if we move into the right emotion, if we move into the awareness of love and come from that place, you begin to see what a gift this life experience is. I mean, in every aspect of it. I had challenges with the computer this morning, and Dr. Reggie gently reminded me, you know, no, that wasn't a negative experience. There's something that, if you going through that, that represents growth for you. So I just appreciate it, and I want you guys to move into that consciousness that these little challenges that you have in life are there to expand your awareness, to expand your love. The whole purpose of you being born and coming into physical form was to experience everything. So why not embrace it with love? Everything. So let's talk about, today we're going to really talk about soulmates, because as I was going through this chapter, I realized, I said, oh my goodness, when we hear the word soulmates, we immediately have this romantic notion. And maybe I'm the only one. So if anyone thinks, as a matter of fact, if you have a concept of a soulmate, press 1 on your telephone keypad so I can have you join in this conversation. I want to hear what your concept of a soulmate is, and then we'll move through the lesson. Come on, guys, help me out here. Don't just sit and don't participate. I need you to participate, and I'm trying so many different ways to get you guys to participate. But I want to hear what your concept of a soulmate is, and I'll start with Dr. Reggie. Okay. Good morning. 0411, you're on the air.
This is I.
Hello, I.
How you doing?
Anthony.
Wow. You know, Dr. Reggie can probably help me out with this, because I don't know, was my subconscious rehearsing this? Because I woke up from a phone call a few minutes ago, and I just collected myself, and I said, oh, I got some time to get on the call. But I recall my dream, and I recall telling someone that lately I've been dreaming, but I have not been able to retain it.
Okay.
But then this morning I realized I had a dream, and there were certain people in it. And Cynthia and Dr. Reggie, you all were in it.
Oh, my goodness.
I just can't recall the whole thing. And it's like now, it's like I'm on this call, and it's like it's deja vu.
Wow.
But anyway, I'm going to share with the fact that my definition, and I know sometimes we get scared because we don't want to be wrong, but there's no right and wrong. It's
no.
Just perception. But my perception of a soulmate is someone that compliments me, someone who jives with me, someone whose heart is my graveyard for my faults, and my heart is her graveyard for her faults.
Mm-hmm.
And love is the theme of everything we do, whether with each other or without each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's my definition.
Okay.
That's my concept.
All right, that's a good one. Hold on 1 second. Let's see who else we have here. Good morning, 2092. You're on the air. What's your definition of a soulmate?
Good morning. I think my interpretation was always that person that you are just most compatible with, that one where you just are you know, doing the dance of life together, and you're perfectly matched. The question I have is, can a person have more than one? Like, I had always thought the soulmate is that one person you're destined to be with because you're, again, perfectly matched. But then I wondered, well, is it possible that there's more than one person in this particular incarnation that you could be perfectly matched with? So I know you didn't ask for another question, but that's
something I've wondered
about.
This is good. I think we're going to have answers to your question as we go further in this discussion this morning. But that's a very good question. And, you know, both of you have described, I think, what many of us perceive as our soulmates. Now, understand, I'm stretching this morning because as I was going through and preparing, I think I got a bigger understanding of the picture of how soulmates work in our lives. Dr. Reggie, do you have something to add this morning about soulmates?
I feel on two levels that what the two callers were saying makes sense. Of
mm-hmm.
course, sometimes you resonate with a person who matches the vibration of your soul, and that's in the romantic sense. But did you know you can also have a dog who could be a soulmate? It's not limited to just people.
Mm-hmm.
Your soulmate is the one to help you to learn in this life, in this incarnation.
Hello.
Then there's something called twin flames. Those are people who are born with you, as Anthony said, and died with you, and their energy is totally connected to yours. They are your soul mate in life and beyond life. And they travel with you, sometimes at birth, sometimes beyond, but they travel with you. That's your twin flame. That person is matching you as a part of your actual soul.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a soul mate can be a person that's loyal and loving and trusting, and they work with you. Now, having more than one soul mate in a lifetime does make sense, because sometimes when people fall in love and they are met in marriage, for example, and suddenly they fall out of love, and it doesn't work anymore. They don't resonate with each other, and the vibration no longer matches. They sign a segue out of the marriage, hopefully in a loving manner, and
mm-hmm.
still remain friends, and then move on to their next level of incarnation. And right here in this world, to understand who the soulmate is. It happens that time. They learn their lesson from that person. Now they can lovingly detach and move on. So soulmates don't have a limit. It has a frequency, and
okay.
it carries beyond this life.
Right. Okay, so we Dr. Reggie has given us a deeper understanding of soulmates. And I want to take you through oneness and what oneness. Yesterday we were talking about how we wind up, how we have made agreements before coming into this incarnation with people to move through experiences. The whole purpose of this lifetime is to experience emotions. Emotions are energy in motion. Energy in motion. So we're here to explore the depths of emotions. And a lot of times, we go through this by creating, according to oneness, they call it these little dramas. Our vibration attracts these experiences, these people to us. But we have agreed before coming here with another person, with another entity, with another energetic form, what we're going to try to accomplish. And sometimes it's very messy. And so what I began to realize is that my whole purpose is to experience so that I can grow, and I've invited these people to participate with me on a soul level so that we all can grow and ascend together. And it took me to a deeper understanding of soulmates. That energetic vibration that unites me with, or that magnetizes experiences and people to me, a lot of those people are my soulmates. We have agreed to go through this drama together so that we can ascend. So I think it's more than the romantic notion. Even though when you find yourself in a romantic relationship, there was a soul contract even there. Even for the relationships that you so-called don't think worked out. Because as we discovered yesterday, as you guys have written, it's like a play. You guys agreed to this play before you came into this world. And so now you, and I'm just using this as an example, now you've gotten married because somewhere, this could be lifetimes and lifetimes that you've played this drama out, and it, you know, you didn't quite end it. The play didn't end because you didn't really grow from it, or you made errors in it, and you have to come back and repeat it and try to do it better. So now here you are, as I'm going back to my example now, you've married this person, and you have grown from this experience. You have ascended. They're not quite getting there as fast as you have. And then there's this separation in the relationship. Or there's, you know, people, you know, they cheat, they whatever. All of, even the fact when a person is in a relationship and they go outside of the marriage and have an affair, you guys had a contractual agreement about that. Guess why? Because that act presents betrayal, a sense of loss. It's a whole gamut of emotions that you go through because of that experience. And the whole purpose is for you to learn something from it. You need to experience all of that, no matter how bad it feels. And the other person has something to learn from it, too. What does it feel like to break my vow? And many people that go outside of their marriage are just really into that whole emotion of, can I get away with it? What is it like? I mean, all of that is intriguing for them. So now, in that experience, even though they're off having a good time, so you think, but then they have to deal with all the guilt and everything on it, and the other party is hurt, there actually is an opportunity for growth. And there's an opportunity for a greater expansion of love. It presents a challenge, and the only question is how will you respond, and what will you learn from it, and how does it take you to a higher level? How does it raise your vibration? How does it help you to ascend? Because now, if you sit here and smolder in the pain and the anguish of that experience, then you stunt your growth, because then you move into protective mode. And, of course, we've all studied Bruce Lipton, and we know that once we move into protective mode, we stunt our growth on many levels. But if you can surrender and be able to tell your partner, thank you. Thank you for this experience. Now let's see if we can make this work for us so that we both can move forward. And on that level, that person really is your soulmate, isn't he? He or she? If you open your heart and expand in love, and you guys have agreed to this long before you coming into this lifetime, yes, they are your soulmate. And to answer Melody's question, yes, you can have more than one. And it doesn't necessarily have to be romantic. If they're allowing you to expand and to grow, and that's the thing, that's why having no judgment is so important. Do you see how easy it would be to go through this experience if there's no judgment of right and wrong on it? If you can look at your partner and say, you know, I know that that was exciting and thrilling for you because that's what you wanted to experience in this lifetime, and it's okay. Did we learn from this? Did we grow from this? But there's something more that I'm seeking to experience. Just like you wanted to have that experience, I wanted to have the experience of commitment, or I wanted to have the experience of having feeling a sense of loss. But I know I have not lost anything. I've gained. And that's a hard conversation to have when we're in pain and when we're uncomfortable, unless we surrender, we embrace the entire experience with love, and we don't put a judgment on it, that we understand that there was purpose here. That there was purpose here. Let's go. I'm going to go ahead and read some things to you. Ultimately, each of you will be able to release the other unconditionally and move forward in new categories of experience once your own passion surrounding certain issues has waned. It becomes easy to project the non-provocative response that invites a similar sense detachment on the part of a traditional adversary. In other words, if you're in a relationship that has been adversarial, there's been conflict in that relationship. If you move into the consciousness of detachment, which means that there has to be no judgment, and you have to embrace the whole experience with love, those are the things that I've just said. That's what they're saying. I'm not reading all from the beginning, but I'm telling you that's where they're going with this. That ultimately you become kind of desensitized, you become detached from it, and it's not going to create all of that pain and misery or rage or anger. All of that dissipates for you, and you will find that the episodes that surface between you are fewer and farther between. You know how when a relationship is going bad, there's all this back and forth. You may have a glimpse of the moments when you guys were joyful, and then here comes that ugliness again in between you, and you know, it goes back and forth, back and forth. That's because both of you are growing. Both of you are growing. You are actually ascending. You are actually ascending. And the more you become detached from those triggers, then you're able to kind of separate. You're able to separate from that person. And it also appears as though you're just drifting apart, because the attention of your energies are drawn elsewhere because you have ascended. But you have a soul contract, and this is where I left off yesterday. You have a soul contract with that other person. So even though you may have accelerated and grown and they haven't, you still have an obligation there. And that is going to keep you guys connected and maybe still going through drama, although you may respond to it differently. So you've got to figure out what is it. You and that partner have to figure out what is it that he or she needs at this point to be able to ascend, not move on and get out of your life. That's the earth way. I just need you to move on. We need to move on. No, we need to bring this to a conclusion, so that your soul grows, so that you ascend. Oh, that's just delicious language, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. How can I help you? Because it helps both of us. That blew me away. you will find that you begin to look back upon some of these more caustic relationships without the predictable anguish that once was triggered at the mere thought of that individual. For the sense of the seething rage, or the profound hurt, or the unbridled terror that the actual interactions once manifested within you and that had been retained vibrationally would now have been released, and the passing thought that might once have been a sufficient catalyst to stimulate those unresolved emotions to the surface, it doesn't exist anymore. And you will notice that you can think about that individual or some of the actual incidents that you co-created without feeling anything at all. Hear that word here. You and that person co-created that experience. You had a soul agreement, a soul contract. Would that make that person your soul mate? And you know, Dr. Reggie says a soulmate could be a dog. You know, sometimes it could be your boss. Because you agreed to have an oppressive boss. Boy, I had one once. I didn't embrace it. I didn't have this knowledge at the time I went through it. It would have been a lot easier for me. But maybe not knowing is the whole purpose of growing. If we knew it all, we wouldn't grow, would we? So you are at this point receiving this information because you have said, enough is enough is enough. I really want to know what's going on, and because I want to move on. I'm tired of hurting. Most of us are at this point right now because our life was not working for us. It was working against us. And so we have surrendered to learn a new way. So if you have an adversary in your life, whether it's a husband or a ex-husband or a wife or an ex-wife or children or, you know, a boss or whatever, if you have any adversarial relationship that you have that is causing conflict, this is a new way to look at it and move through it. And guess what? I am so grateful to have my eyes open today. So look at that situation and say, this is my soulmate. We agreed and we're co-creating this experience, no matter how uncomfortable, so that we can grow together and ascend. Okay. The opportunity and having brought these categories of emotion to resolution is to remember vividly the richness of that level of experience. And at the same time to know that you are no longer there. Wow. How many of you can look at that experience that was just tearing at your heart, breaking your heart, and to recognize that you've grown from it. You know, I do a scan of my life quite frequently, and I experienced that a few days ago where I was going through experiences. You know, I'm not, I worked very, very hard to be what my father wanted me to be. And that was, he wanted me to be a regular person, to get up and go to work and work from 9 to 5 and stay on your job for 30 years. That was his concept. I couldn't do it. And I mean, I kind of flat, and because I had problems doing that, you know, his perception of me was that I was flighty. I wasn't flighty. I mean, I can tell you that I know that I came into this world to experience everything. At the time that my father perceived me to be flighty, I just wanted to experience life. Someone said to me the other day, I know that I'm a butterfly. You know how a butterfly flits over in one experience and says, oh, okay, I'm going to do this, and lands, and then they float over somewhere else and they land, and they're tasting this flower. And that's how I was. I wanted to explore life. I wanted to experience what it felt like to be and do different things. And you know what? That was okay. But I walked around feeling guilty about it because I know that I wasn't living this rigid life that they tell us we're supposed to live. And so I literally had to work very, 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 very hard, go against my entire nature to be on that treadmill, you know, where I would get up in the morning, go to work, do a job that I absolutely hated. But here's the thing. Oh, I have benefits. Oh, I have blah, 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 all this stuff, trying to deal with these oppressive bosses, stunting my creativity. The whole experience is just not who I am. Where was I going with this? Anyway, I'm reviewing my life. That's where I was going. And at that point, I felt like, oh, my God, I just gave away such a big chunk of my life. I wasted all of that time. And you know what I'm realizing now? That all of it made me who I am today. All of it made me who I am today. I can clearly tell you that if you're not in your joy, move on. Don't move to your joy. I didn't move to my joy until now. I'm in my joy. I stayed so filled with moving in that experience and trying to please my father, and he's long gone now, and I guess that's why I'm free to just be and do what God has put me here to do, to experience all of this and to bring all of you into this experience. And I learn from you and I get to give to you, you know? So never look at, my point here is to never look at what has transpired in your life in a negative, to say that it was bad or it was a bad decision. No, you know, it wasn't. And the people that you brought into that experience, all of them were soulmates. Because why? Because they helped your soul to grow. They helped you to soar. I'm not angry with my father that he did that. I loved him. Because had I not had these experiences, I don't think I would embrace the liberation that I have with so much joy now. So I'm sure that there's experiences that you have had in your life that you can say, gosh, now I can look at this and say, had I not had that, had I not gone through that journey, I wouldn't be here now. It's made me stronger. It's made me better. And clearly it has said, I don't want that. And that's what I love about Esther Hicks and the Abraham material, because she says those experiences of what you don't want give you contrast. It clearly says, my heart desires more of something else, not this. And you wouldn't recognize it had you not had that experience, even in a relationship. Even in a relationship. And I'm talking about, you know, that loving relationship. If you don't go through the bad relationships, you don't know what it is. You don't know what a good relationship is. It gives you the contrast. And it allows you to grow, to love yourself and say, you know, I deserve more. You grow from it. Every experience has value. And the people that co-create those experiences with you are important. And you have a connection with them and a contractual obligation with them. I'm going to open the floor. We only have a few minutes, but if you are just really anxious to share something with us, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. And I hope I've shifted your consciousness this morning on soulmates and how they, the important role that they play. And it's more than romance, but it is a tremendous amount of love. It was a contract made in love, no matter how uncomfortable your experience is today. If you want to share this morning, oh, good morning. Anthony, is that you?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Did you?
Yes, I wanted to comment. I wanted to share an experience that I had while you was reading. And now I realize that I actually had honored a contract. And I was so confused because it was a marriage that I was in, my first marriage. And it went south. There was separation, long separation. And I, at the time, felt I was stuck. So rather than do something drastic, I waited on God to give me an answer because I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure, you know, you come up and you feel like, you know, in a marriage is to death do part and all this, but it wasn't working. It just wasn't working. I was a little naive and, you know, inexperienced in this marriage thing. But I remember not moving forward in terms of, you know, getting a divorce and what have you. But I remember what took place with me was the idea came, well, I received a call from her about her son, who, you know, was my stepson.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And in the experience, we were talking about him and what the things he was doing. And because she wanted somebody to talk to, and what better person than me, because I knew him because we were all in the same household. And from that, we just started talking. Well, the idea came to me to try to amend the relationship, the marriage, because we were still officially married on paper. And I remember us coming to that point. Now, I remember exactly when I decided I was going to do that, I was honest and realizing I loved her, but I wasn't in love with her. But I was willing to do that because I felt like perhaps it was the best thing to do and just see if it's, you know, worked out. And I remember during my school break, because I was in school at this time. I went to school at a late age in college, and I was doing a break, and we had talked about it. So we had talked about me coming back, going back to D.C. to spend, you know, some time together. And I remember, as it took place right now, coming into the place, her place, and just, you know, ready to exchange or whatever. And it had been a while since that point. And I remember as we started, you know, as things settled down and we were talking, I remember us talking about what we wanted to do and so on. Mm-hmm. I remember her words stately pointing out, and I'll be quickly, that she said she was not ready to do this, to move forward in that. And I remember when she said it, it was like a ton of bricks was taken off my shoulders. A ton.
Wow.
I was not upset. I was actually relieved within myself. I didn't show it, you know, but I was actually relieved. The sense of peace and relief and peace of mind came over me.
Mm.
And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, it took me to go forward as if we were going to get together to find out God's answer to what I should do. And that was my answer to move on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny how I had to come to that point. And you know, that was, I wanted to honor that contract. But she felt like she learned something from it, and I certainly did, and we can move on. And
wow.
That's how it unfolded. I had to share that.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Wow. How long were you separated before that event?
About 6 years. 6 years.
Wow.
6 years.
Wow.
6 years.
Well, we have 90 seconds left. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm going to go ahead and ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
Heavenly
getting
Father,
good.
It is. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful lesson this morning. And we all share experiences that we have, and we all make contracts one way or the other for our highest good, pre-birth and after this life. We thank you that we come through every experience and you value everything. Every single thing that we go through is to help us to grow, expand, learn, and ascend into a higher understanding of who we are and why we're on the planet. And we thank you for that energy and that love and a greater understanding of this experience on Earth. We thank you and we believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Wow. Anthony took us through that journey, and I know that there are other people just itching to tell us and share with us. I don't know if we should continue this chapter tomorrow. I don't know. I'll pray on it just so that we can explore it. But it was so important. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Circles of Prosperity. We'll be here tomorrow. I love you as God loves you.